I was talking with one of my kids a couple weeks ago and mentioned something about how since it's a new year, it's an opportunity for like a brand new start, kind of get this clean slate, a clean slate. And friends, isn't that a great feeling when you have the feeling to start something over, have something new, a clean slate? When you have things that are fresh and new, it can really be good. It can be really good. If you get something new, like you get a new car or something, one of the things you want to try to do is you try to keep it nice. You want to keep that car from maybe getting scratched and for as long as you can at first, right? You're always trying to keep it in good form and that kind of thing. When something is fresh and clean, you want to keep it that way at least for a while. Well, when I told one of my kids a couple weeks ago about 2022 being a place for a new start and a clean slate, my child answered with something profound, something like, you know, you don't need a new year. You don't need a new year to have a clean slate. A new year is just another date. You can start fresh every day. Isn't that right? I mean, that preaches. And although we're in a message series right now where we're talking about being new in 22, I feel it's important for me to remind us of that truth. Listen, I have no doubt that we have some people here probably who've already started off feeling the year fresh and it's all right, but only within 2 weeks they've already blown it in enough areas that their once clean slate's not feeling too clean yet already. And I just want you to know that for some of you, maybe it feels like the car got scratched before it got off the lot. But it's okay. I just want to tell you that's okay. It really is. Our idea of being new in 22 isn't that you get one shot out the gate, and if you can't get it all right in that year, you blow it early, then you're shot for the whole year. You got to wait for next year to roll around to start over. No, actually, every day, even every moment, is another opportunity to take a fresh start. It really is. So what we're doing in this message series as we're beginning the new year and these few weeks of the beginning of the year is trying to help us to focus on giving us a right focus to start on solid footing. That's what we're doing. Solid footing for this year. So far, we've talked about having faith over fear. We've talked about being committed to prayer, even rebooted a Wednesday morning prayer group that's happening now. And this week, we're going to talk about another really critically important starter. We're going to talk about having a new regard for the Word of God, a new regard for the Word of God, the Bible. I want you to know that I love the Word of God. I love the Bible. Talk about newness. God's Word breathes fresh life into me every time that I come and read it with a high regard. Every time I regard it as my meat and potatoes, the source of my living. That's been especially true for me in this last year. The Word of God has been alive in me in new and deepening ways, and I believe with my whole being that God wants to do that same kind of thing in your lives with His Word. If we'll choose to be new in 22 with a new regard for His Word, I believe that we'll be highly impacted. At the end of what's known as the Sermon on the Mount, probably the most famous sermon that Jesus preached that's recorded, He tells a story. He says that there were two guys who went out to build their homes. They each built their home in different foundations. One guy built his house on the foundation of a solid rock. The other guy built his house on the foundation of sand. Now, before I go further into the story, which of those two houses would you want to live in? Pretty easy to answer that, isn't it? Well, Jesus, in his story, we see why that's an easy answer. An unexpected storm comes up, and the rains come pouring down. The streams begin to rise. The winds begin swirling and beating against those houses. The house that was stood on the rock stood strong. The foundation holds, and the guy, he has a good night's sleep. But the house that's built on sand, it falls down with a great crash. I mean, think about it. If there's a sand foundation, think about how saturated that foundation would be from the water of those pouring rains alone. The sand's going to start to shift just because of that. And now you add onto that the winds pushing against the walls and shifting that house. Friends, it doesn't stand a chance. Not a chance. And then Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Friends, we find the words of Jesus, everyone who hears his words, we find the words of Jesus in the Bible. In the Bible. He's the inspiring author of all of it, the whole Bible. If you're going to make it in the storms of life, you've got to have that rock solid foundation. And that's why having a high regard for God's word in our lives is absolutely critical. If I can teach you anything in any of the time that God gives for me to be your pastor, if I can instill anything in you, I would be eternally satisfied if I could instill in you a deep love for Jesus and his word. If that was all I could ever do, if that's all I could ever help you to have, that's what I would do, a deep love for Jesus and his word. We don't know what 2022 is going to hold. We sure know that 2020, 2021 had tremendous amounts of storms, and so I would believe that probably we can be assured that there's going to be some storms in 2022 as well. You will have storms in your life, emotional storms, health storms, financial storms, and other storms. If your life's built on sand, and guess what? Anything that's not God's word becomes sand. It shifts. And if your life's built on anything but God's word, if it's built on sand, your foundation's going to shift. It's going to crumble, and you're going to come crashing down at some point. But if your life is built on the rock of God's word, the storms may still be rough, they may be difficult, but you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You can't build your life on the opinion of others. You can't build it on your own opinion. You can't build it on popular opinion. You can't build your life on culture. You must build your life on something that's unchanging, unchanging truth. And friends, that is God's word. It's God's word. What we're going to do today is look at a passage from the book of James, James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. If you got your Bibles with you, you can just open and leave them open to that. We'll be in a couple other scriptures too, but that's the main one. And we're going to see how it teaches us how to build our lives on the Bible. James teaches us how to use our senses for four ways to build our life on the Bible. Now, let me clarify that this passage we're going to look at in James isn't directly speaking about reading the Bible, reading God's word, but it can be directly applied to it. We're not trying to make God's word say something that it doesn't at all. We're applying God's word to when he talks about listening and doing, to listening and responding to the word. You'll see how much it very much connects. And the first way to build my life on the Bible is this. Number one, I receive it with my ears. With my ears. We're talking about hearing the Bible, hearing what the word of God says, hearing God speak. Before we get into James, Romans chapter 10, 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. The word is his word. Every time you hear a pastor or a Bible teacher teach the Bible, or hear a study on the radio or a podcast that's teaching the Bible, when you're listening to the word of God being taught, your foundation is being built. Your foundation of faith is being built. Faith comes from hearing the message. The message is heard through the word of Christ. Now let's turn to James now. James chapter 1, starting with verses 19 through 21. And James says this. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. He says, be quick to listen. That's using my ears, isn't it? Quick to listen. That's using my ears. And he says, accept the word. So in this passage, it teaches that I must receive it with my ears. In the Greek, the words accept the word are hospitality words that mean to welcome the word. It's saying, we welcome you, Lord. We welcome your word. Come in. I'm wide open. It's an attitude of acceptance. So friends, if you're going to get the Bible in your life, you've got to start by being open to it. That openness will only come by having the Holy Spirit in you. Countless people read the Bible and they say, I've not felt, I've not got anything out of it. Well, you first need Jesus. You need to receive his forgiveness and open your heart to him. And then the Holy Spirit, who authors scripture, the Holy Spirit comes into you to read scripture to you. Then as you open his word, the Holy Spirit's going to plant that word into you. Plant that word into you. Having an attitude of accepting God's word or not having an attitude to accept his word is the reason that you can have two people sitting next to each other in church in a worship experience someday, sitting side by side, and one will go out saying, that was powerful. And the other one can go out saying, I didn't get anything out of that. If God's word is being taught, if it's being taught we're open to it and the Holy Spirit's in us, then you can always get something out of it. You can always get something out of it. The difference is in your heart preparation. Your heart preparation. So this passage of James, he talks about four attitudes of good reception that have to do with your heart preparation. And first he says this. He says, I must be quiet. James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak. When you're talking, you can't listen, can you? You can't listen very well when your mouth is rolling. You've got to be quiet. You can't hear God if you're talking and making noise. And it doesn't need to just be audible noise coming out of our mouths. It can be the noise in our heads. If our minds are constantly making noise all the time, how are we going to hear from God? Because we're making too much noise to hear him. You can't listen if you don't shut up, right? Second, to have good reception, I must be calm. James says, and slow to become angry. Now, why would we talk about anger when we're talking about reading the Bible? Because, friends, you can't hear when you're angry. You can't hear much when you're upset. Have you ever heard someone say who's angry and say something like, I'm just not hearing anything from God at all. Why doesn't he say something? Why doesn't he speak up? It's because you don't hear anyone very well when you're angry, including God. In fact, when we're angry at God, we usually want to project things onto God. We make him the bad guy, and we close off to his word. That's what happens. When you're emotionally upset, you're often on the defense, and you don't hear people very well when you're defensive. On the other hand, when you're emotionally relaxed, when you're quiet, when you're calm, you can hear others, and you can also more easily hear God. You've got to quiet yourself and be calm if you're going to hear God speak to you through the Bible. You can't be like, God, I've got 5 minutes. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. That's all the time I have. Say something now. Make it quick because I'm moving on. I got to get going. If you're frantic, if you're not as likely to hear God because you're too busy in your mind to hear from his word. God says in the Bible, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Now, that's not to say that God won't meet you in your distress. Being broken and distressed is different from being angry. Brokenness and distress is all through the Psalms. God loves to draw near to the brokenhearted. He loves to draw near to those who are distressed. He can also handle you being ticked off. He can also handle all your anger, by the way, just so you know, but you're not as likely to hear him if your anger is clogging your ears from hearing his voice to you. The third thing that we need to be receptive is this, is I must be clean. In other words, when I got junk, when I got sin piled up in my life, I can't expect to hear God speaking to me. The third thing that James says is get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Now, think of this kind of in gardening terms. If you're wanting to plant God's truth into your mind and into your heart and into your life, into your foundation, before you can plant good seed into soil, you got to prepare the soil. One of the things that you're going to do is you're going to break that soil up. You're going to get the dirt clots and you're going to break them apart. You're going to eliminate the rocks. You're going to pull the weeds. You get the soil ready, don't you? So that it's clean, so that it's right, so that it can receive the seed. You don't want it full of junk. So you got to have the soil ready. James is telling us to get rid of the junk so that we can receive the seed. There are two things he tells us to get rid of. in our soil to hear him, to get the seed. First, get rid of filth, and second, get rid of evil. And here's the interesting thing. In the Greek word filth, the way it's used here, it's the same way it's used for earwax. You know that stuff that's on the end of the Q-tip? Pleasant thought, isn't it? Pleasant thought. He says, get rid of the earwax. Why? So you can hear. So you can hear. The point is, I can't hear God if I got all this junk stuffed in my ears. I'm mentally blocked. You might say, God never speaks to me. You probably need to be removing some earwax. You've probably got some emotional, spiritual, mental, or ethical earwax that's going on that's blocking you from receiving. And you're not going to hear much until you get that junk out of your life. To get out, it plugs up the sound. James says to get rid of evil, which is anything that you know is wrong in your life. Before you come to God, you gotta get out the garbage. You gotta take the garbage out, the emotional garbage, the spiritual garbage. You gotta get rid of the things that stink in your life. Now, I'm not talking about coming to give your life to Jesus. You can't fix your life first to come to him. I'm talking about once you've come to Jesus, if you want to receive what he has to say to you, you got to clear the stuff out. You got to allow him to change you. You got to allow him to help you to remove those things that are clogging your ears from receiving. Listen, you're going to have a real hard time hearing God if your mind's filled with pornography or resentment or jealousy or anger or unforgiveness or any other junk in your life. You can't hear clearly from God with all that stuff packed in there. So how do I take out the spiritual garbage? The Bible calls it confession. Confession. And confession simply means that I agree with God that what I've done or what I'm doing is wrong. God, you're right and I'm wrong. And when you say that, you're confessing. I do a lot of journaling in my time with God. And one time I did a whole lot of writing, and I would begin with writing a confession before I would go into prayer with God. And I wouldn't just write down sins I knew in my life. I just would confess everything. This is what's going on. This is how I'm feeling. This is what's going on. I would write out a lot of confession. I begin my time doing that. And what that does is that cleans your spiritual palate so that I can taste God's word, really taste and see just how good it is. When you look at something that you know is wrong, and you say to God, Lord, it was wrong for me to look at that. When I say, Lord, it was wrong for me to say that to my kids. It was wrong for me to act that way towards those people. It was wrong for me to be angry. It was wrong for me to visit that website or that social media link. Whatever it is, it was wrong, God. Please forgive me. When you do that, that's called confession. And it clears that junk out. It begins to clear that junk out so that we can hear God. And confession prepares your spiritual ground to receive the seed of God's word. So I get quiet and I get calm and I get clean. There's a fourth thing to receive with my ears, and it's this: I must be humble. James says, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Now, what does it mean to be humble in this context? It means to be ready to do whatever God tells me to do in his word. If I come to him with a prideful attitude and I say, God, you can tell me what you want me to do, and then I'm going to decide whether I want to do it or not. I'll make the decision whether I'm going to follow it or not. Friends, that's just not going to work. I have to come humbly. These are the ways that we receive God's word. With our ears, to how we hear it, we become quiet, we become calm, we become clean, and we become humble. So hearing is a good way to receive the word of God in your life, but we need to go even deeper. So here's a second way for us to build my life on God's word. The second way is this: I read with my eyes. I read with my eyes. You cannot grow very far in your relationship with God without reading the Bible. Can't. You can go to certain levels of growth by what you hear me say or other teachers, but you can't go to those deeper depths in relationship with God without using your eyes and reading the Bible. Listen to what James goes on to say in James 1:22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the word. In other words, you need to listen, but don't only listen. And so deceive yourselves, because if you just listen, you're going to forget it. He says, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone that looks at his face in a mirror after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. That happens to many people on Sunday mornings. They'll come in, they'll hear the message. They might think that message is pretty great. They feel motivated. By the time they hit the parking lot, they've already forgot what it is. They've already forgotten what the message was. This is a person who looks in the mirror but immediately forgets what it looks like. But here comes the opposite to that scenario. But whoever looks intently into the law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. They will be blessed in what they do. The whole reason we're together to worship every Sunday is because we want to bless God and because we want to experience a blessing. A blessing. I want you to be blessed in every area of your life. And the Bible says there are four things in this passage. There are four things that we do that will leave us blessed. And what are they? First, James says, look intently into the perfect law that gives life, and you're going to be blessed. Now, for us, that's talking about the Bible. That's talking about the Bible. For us to look intently into the Bible, if you do that, you're going to be blessed. Look intently into the Bible. It gives freely to you, but you've got to read it. You've got to look into it. James uses the idea of a mirror. Now, what's the difference between someone who glances at a mirror and someone who looks intently into a mirror? You know, when I stop to use the restroom at a gas station, as I'm washing my hands, I might peek at the mirror to make sure my hair is okay, but I'm not going to spend much time. I'm just going to take a glance because my goal is to get out of that room as fast as I can. I don't like to be in gas station bathrooms very much. But if I'm getting ready for a date with my wife, you know what? I'm going to look intently into the mirror. I'm going to make sure that every hair is in place. I'm going to make sure that my shirt's not too wrinkly. I'm going to make sure that I'm clean shaven. I have the highest regard for my wife, and I want to look my best for her if we go out on a date. God doesn't want us to just be glancing at his word and to pass it by. We need to look intently into it. We need to hold it with highest regard in our lives. Second, James says, continue in it and you will be blessed. That's making reading the Bible a habit. That's reviewing it and staying in it. It's when you get some mileage in your reading in God's word so that it really begins to change your life. It's like studying a map. Now, we don't use maps very often today when we're traveling. People don't do that. They just put the destination in their phone. They let the GPS guide them where to go, tell them what route to take, tell them when to turn right and turn left, and they just assume they're going to get to where they're going. And often we have no idea the route we traveled at all. We couldn't return without putting it back in our phone again and following the same calls from our phone to do the same thing. But God's word is more like a map. You want and you need to study it to see which way is best and which way is right and which way isn't right. You can't figure that out only by glancing at the map once and then tossing it in the backseat and just hitting the road and just going for it. You want to know God's word, the map for your life, like the back of your hand, so that the navigation it brings to your life, it just comes as you're walking through life. It's just coming to you because you know his word well enough in your heart that you know what direction to go as things are coming up. James then says, not forgetting what you have heard. If you don't forget what you've heard, you're going to be blessed. That's remembering the Bible. Read it and reread it, and you're going to start to remember it. You're going to start to remember portions of it, parts that apply to our lives. It's not a book that you read at some point and then you say, oh yeah, I read that before. I know what that's about. No, you don't. No, you don't. No one knows the Bible by reading it at some time before. You should always be saying, I'm reading the Bible, as in currently. You read it and you read it over again and over again. You stop and you study and you're reading because the goal isn't to say that I've read it. The goal is to learn it. The goal is to know the Word of God so that it's planted into your foundation. That's the goal. Of course, not all at once, but in bite-sized pieces that eventually turn into courses of a meal, that eventually turn into whole meals and whole genres of meals. Let me see if I can explain that a bit further. You can't eat chips and salsa and say you've eaten Mexican cuisine, right? You can't do that. You've only had a bite-sized piece of what might be Mexican food, depending on where you got that chips and salsa, right? You can't even add a burrito to that and say, now I've had a Mexican meal. No, you've only had a la carte. That's what you've had. You've had a la carte, and there are a lot of a la carte Bible readers out there. A lot of a la carte Bible readers that take some chips and salsa here and maybe a burrito from over here, and they miss the whole meal, right? All the time. But in time, when you've had beans and rice and maybe a chimichanga, Mike said to me earlier that the whole enchilada, right? When you've had the whole enchilada, then you've had the meal. And after exploring the menu and trying a lot of the things on the menu, you can begin to say, I'm beginning to get the Mexican cuisine down. But now you've only touched that. You've not even touched the Italian cuisine and the Asian cuisine over here. When you keep reading and learning and not forgetting what you've heard, you begin to catch the whole Word of God. You begin to not just get a meal, not just a cuisine, but you get the whole flavor, the whole Word of God for your life. And it begins to be a blessing to you as you receive it, to become so, so rich. But even more important than reading and continuing and not forgetting is the last thing he says to do to be blessed, and that is doing it. Doing it. Nothing you read and learn in the Bible of God matters if you don't apply it, if you don't do what it says. To really be blessed, you have to live it. It doesn't matter a hill of beans. If I can quote to you scripture verse after scripture verse, or if I can point out in your life what the Bible says you're doing wrong, if I'm not living what I'm learning from the Bible in my own life. The Bible's a lot less about do's and don'ts, but much more about how we live in action as Jesus lived. That's what it's about. So don't just do it. Don't just read it. Do it. And we're going to come back to that a little bit more in a bit. Let's go on now. The third way to build my life on the Bible is this. I research it with my hands and with my mouth. My hands and my mouth. Let me explain that to you a bit. This isn't just reading. What we're talking about now is Bible study, researching the Bible. There's a difference in reading the Bible and studying it. Reading is good, of course. It's very good. But studying it is when the Bible begins to read itself to you. It begins to read into your life. Studying the Bible is usually going to include a pen and a pad of paper. It usually includes writing something down. Two companions of studying the Bible include this: writing down what I learn and talking about what I learn. Writing down what I learn and talking about what I learn. That's when reading begins to become a study. This is one of the reasons that we talk about being in a life group. When you're in a life group, you have a natural place to talk about what you're studying and what you're learning with each other. When you study the Bible, you use your hands to write about it. You use your mouth to talk about it. For Christmas this year, I gave my family a special gift. I had it hidden away, and I saved it for the last gift for everybody in my family who was there. And I gave them a journal. Now, they've all had and they've all used journals for different things in their life. Caroline brings a journal to church with her every week and takes sermon notes with it. And you know what? That's a great practice. Mike told me that Lindsay does the same thing. In fact, I think they do the same kind of thing. I think they both use the sermon notes in the bulletin to guide them, but they write in their journals the fill-ins and have room to write more of the things they want to write. And then they have it saved in a journal to turn back to if they want to do that at some point. Listen, it is my encouragement to you that every Sunday you bring two things, a Bible and a journal. A Bible, don't just rely on the scripture on the screen. Open your Bible, for at least part of it. Read it in your Bible and have a journal to write the notes that God's teaching you. You know, from the time I became a Christian, I became an avid note taker. I would sit in church and listen to the pastor, and I would write, and I would write, and I would write. And I've done that all the time when I hear somebody teaching God's word. It helps me. There's something about your brain and writing something that helps you to plant it. To plant it. When you write some of the notes that you're hearing, do I go back and look at those notes? Very rarely, to be honest with you. But something about that process helps me to engage and to learn. So I encourage you every week to bring a Bible and a journal and a pen if they're not here in the seats so that you can take notes yourself. But you know what? I didn't give these journals to my family for sermon note taking. I had another idea for the journal because journals are used for a lot of things. I gave them to my journal for the journals to my family for their personal times with God and His Word. And my challenge to them, I wrote it in the front of their journals. My challenge to them was to read regularly, and when they read, to stop and write something. Write something. It doesn't have to be a book. It doesn't have to be a paragraph. It might just be a sentence or two, but write something. Write something that God's teaching you, something that stands out to you in His Word. Write something that God speaks. I encourage them to read until they're arrested, until they're stopped by something in God's word. And then you just stop and write about that. And then you read on until you're arrested, until you're stopped again, and you write a sentence or two about that. And you just keep doing that. Listen, I've journaled off and on for years. I've actually paraphrased, rewritten the whole New Testament, all of the Psalms, I believe all of the Proverbs. I've done some of the New Testament more than once, and I've done that, and you know what? And I won't trade how Scripture has taught me from paraphrasing it, rewriting it in my words for anything. I won't trade that for anything. But in this last year, there was something new that happened to me in reading and writing, simply reading until I was stopped, till I was arrested by what the Scripture said, and writing something. I've just had this beautiful, beautiful time with God and His Word. And this last year has been so special to me. And as I said earlier, it started reading. Scripture started reading itself to me. And you know what? This is what I want for my family. This is what I want for my family. I want them to experience that kind of engagement with God's Word. And that's why I bought those journals for them. I even told them, you fill this up, and it's free refills. I'll get you another one. But please do that. And friends, this is what I want for you. This is what I want for you, to have an engagement with God's word. Use your hands, reading and writing, and then use your mouth to tell others about what you're learning. That's studying the Bible. An important thing to remember when we study the Bible is that it always leads us to Jesus. God's word always leads us to Jesus. If you're studying the Bible, but you aren't looking to Jesus, then it won't bring you in your life what you think that it will. Jesus was talking one time to the religious leaders of his day, the students of the Bible of his day. And they've been studying Scripture, but they were missing the essence of Scripture because they were missing Him. Listen to what He says to them in John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. He says, you search the Scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the Scriptures point to Me. Yet you refuse to come to Me to receive this gift. They're studying the Scriptures. They're trying to find their answers. They're not finding it because they're not looking to Jesus, who's right in front of them. The Scriptures take you to Jesus. And if it's not taking you to Jesus, then you're missing something. Because that's where all Scripture leads. Search the Bible, study it, and let it point you to Jesus. The fourth way to build your life on the Bible is I respond with my actions. With my actions. James 1:22, it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. We've hit it on a couple times already this morning, but let's really focus in on it for a few moments because it's monumental to bringing making you new in 22. Listen to it as I read it again. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. Do you know what that verse is saying? It's saying, turn it to action. Turn what you're reading to action. Not only that, it's saying that if you don't turn it to action, you're deceiving yourself. You're just fooling yourself in your reading. Do you know what that deceiving yourself looks like? It looks like when you think you've heard something and you think you've got it, but you really don't get it. You really don't get it. I can tell you about what the Bible says. You can read about what the Bible says, maybe about how to be a good mom or how to be a good dad. But if you don't do it, then you didn't really get it, right? I can talk to you about what the Bible teaches, or you can read about what the Bible teaches about how to be moral or kind or loving or good or holy or a good steward of your money or how to love your spouse or how to love your children or how to share the hope that you have found in Jesus or how to use your spiritual gifts that God's blessed you with or how to manage your anger or deal with conflict or how to treat friends and even how to treat enemies and so many other things that pertain to every area of your life because the Bible does that. You can read about those, I can teach you those, but if you don't do it, then you didn't really get it. You didn't really get it. The truth is we only believe the parts of the Bible that we really do, right? If you're reading it, if you're learning it, and you don't do it, then you're not getting it, you're not believing it. You only believe what you do. Being doers of the word is to do all that it says. Let's go back to Jesus and that we talked about, that the sermon that he did at the end of his Sermon on the Mount, the story that he told that I talked about in the beginning of the message. Let's go back to that for a moment. I want to read a portion of it to you in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Jesus says this. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice." That's a doer of the word, isn't it? Whoever hears these words of mine, the Bible's the words of Jesus, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the storms rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fail because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. So you come to church, you listen to them, you read them in your Bible, you read what it says, but you're not putting any of it into practice, is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Friends, I don't want that to happen to you. And I don't want that to happen to me. We don't know what's going to come in 2022 or 2023 or 24 or whenever, but I know this. We'll crumble if we don't have a solid foundation for our lives that's built on the solid foundation of the rock of God's word. The only foundation that's solid and that remains solid is having a high regard for God's unchanging word, the word of God. Everything else is shifting sand. When you build your life on the truth of the Bible, you can know that it's the same 2,000 years ago. It'll be the same in the next 2,000 years because his word, his truth, does not change. It's a rock, and a rock is what we need to build our life upon. Now, I'm going to leave you with a challenge today, actually for the next 90 days. Do you want to be new in 22? Well, if you do, then this is a challenge that I believe without shadow or doubt, if you take it, it will bring newness to your life. I'm challenging you to join me in a 90-day New Testament reading of the Bible, the reading of the New Testament challenge. Did you know that you can read about three chapters of the New Testament a day, and you can read the whole New Testament in 90 days, in 3 months? Three chapters a day for 90 days, for 3 months, you read the whole Bible. You can complete the whole New Testament that way. So I'm challenging you to begin tomorrow. And if you do, and you stay on schedule, you're going to end up reading the whole New Testament by right around Good Friday, right before Easter. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool to have accomplished reading the whole New Testament by the time we're remembering the death and celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I think that could be really powerful. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get your Bible and a journal or a pad and a pen, and then start tomorrow in the book of Matthew, Monday. Read the first three chapters of Matthew, and next three the next day, and just keep going straight through the New Testament until you're done in 90 days. Now, if you're already doing the read the Bible through a year plan with the group that's doing that in our church, just keep doing that. You're already doing a reading plan. I don't want to introduce something else on top of that that makes it so much that you might not accomplish what you started there. If you're reading through the Bible in the year with that group, just keep doing that. Or if you have another reading plan that's really solid you're doing, then do that. But if you're not doing anything like that, join me in this 90-day challenge. And as you read, when you're stopped by a verse or a thought in the scripture, stop and write a sentence, write a paragraph or something about that, what stood out to you, and then continue to go back to reading until you're stopped again. And as God teaches you, feel free to go to the Old Fort Church Facebook page and share your thoughts with others there and share them in your life groups. And if you're not in a life group, then perhaps it's time for you to get into one where you can begin to share that. If you don't have a Bible, then it's, you know what, it's time for you to get a Bible. It's time for you to get one. If you need help to get one, you can't afford one, or something like that, email me, markquinter@gmail.com. We'll get you a Bible. But here's what I tell you, if you're going to get a Bible, go to christianbook.com or Amazon today and find a Bible that you can get. I'm going to tell you my favorite translations right now. You don't have to choose one of these, but these are my favorites right now. Right now, I've really been enjoying the ESV, which is English Standard Version, the NIV, which is the New International Version, and the NLT, which is the New Living Translation. And let me tell you what I like about those three if you're thinking about choosing a Bible. The ESV, I think, is a pretty good interpretation from the original text. The NIV, I believe, is a pretty good interpretation of the feel that was met, the feeling that was met in the original text. And the NLT is just an easy-to-read translation that is pretty accurate. So I kind of move along those three the most. I sometimes use others, but I think any of them can be solid. The ESV can be a little more difficult to read than the other two. But I encourage you to pick out something if you don't have one. Until you have a Bible that comes, if you don't have one, you know what? Add a Bible app to your phone, like YouVersion. Or go to Bible.gateway BibleGateway.com online so that you can start reading right away tomorrow with us until you get a physical Bible in your hands. Here's one more tool that might help you if you're interested in doing this. You can just read three chapters a day like I just told you to do. It's about three chapters. And you'll complete it in time. Or you can actually go to the YouVersion Bible app. You can put that on your electronic device. And you can go to reading plans, and you can actually find one called the New Testament in 90 Days. And it's going to give you a checklist. I know I looked at it. Tomorrow is the first three chapters of Matthew, so it's pretty much three chapters a day. But you can actually check boxes off if that helps you to use a plan like that to be reading with us as you go through it in that guide. Now, friends, here's what I want to do. I want to close us in prayer today by praying for you and for your time in God's word if you take this challenge or in whatever reading you do of his word, for it to speak life into you. So would you bow your heads and let me pray over you? Lord God, I thank you so much for your word. It really, it's really like a close companion. It's like a best friend in my life. Your word, the Bible, speaks to us. It tells us in your word that it's living, it's breathing and active. So it's constantly engaging with those who have the Spirit in them. The Spirit in the Bible engages with Holy Spirit in us, the same Holy Spirit. And so, God, I thank you for that tool you've given us to not just learn and know about you, but to become like you, Jesus. And now, God, I just want to say a prayer over each person in this room and anybody who might be watching on live stream today or sometime through this week. And, God, I just ask your blessing, Holy Spirit, to fall down upon them. Holy Spirit, to rise up within them. And as they meet you, Holy Spirit, in your word, that you'll engage their life. Maybe they've tried to read before and they've just put it down. They've tried to read again and they put it down. God, I pray that this time it sticks, that they connect with your Spirit in a way that they're keeping drawn back to it, the way that I've been drawn back to it. That it doesn't become a to-do list thing, but it becomes something that they become eager to do as your word connects to each of their hearts. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to bless every individual in this room and who are watching. Holy Spirit, I ask you to work, that you would make mighty transformation, that we're not just new in 22, but that we're a new creation in Christ. through your word, the Bible. Thank you for your blessing, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.